This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to Awful and Awesome.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap. I'm Nanika, and
I'm Tanishka.
We're finally reunited after a really long time. So, Tanishka, what are we talking about this week?
We are discussing Mamla Legal Hair, okay. Irish Wish, yes. And Gentlemen.
That sounds like quite an interesting lineup.
I think
lineup.
Combined, we have watched all of it.
Yeah, all of it. I think bits and if you put together, I think there's very little that we've left out. So we have a great success rate this episode, which makes for a great discussion.
Yeah, except half of one movie, which you'll find out about.
Exactly. So the full episode of Awful and Awesome is outside the paywall this week, much like our other podcasts, NL Hafta and NL Charcha. You can catch the full episodes of these podcasts on our YouTube channel. Just a reminder that we rely completely on subscriptions, on your support, and we don't take any ads. We urge you to support us and become a paid subscriber of News Laundry. Our subscription plans start for as low as Rs. 300 per month. You can also check out our other subscription plans at newslaundry.com/subscription. Become a subscriber today and help us support independent journalism.
So before we get on with the show, let's start with the headlines for the week. Number one, Bollywood star Kangana Ranaut was declared BJP's Lok Sabha candidate from Mandi, Himachal Pradesh.
Quite interesting. I've been seeing the news coverage around it.
It's the audition she's been doing for years now.
On Twitter, that too, which is like the most successful somebody's been off of Twitter.
Yes.
Interesting.
So good, there is a success rate.
There is absolutely, which is why you should keep tweeting and keep being on your social media.
Shit posting is great.
Absolutely. Doesn't matter what your mom says about your phone. You should be on your phone. Who knows? One day it could result in a Lok Sabha seat.
Exactly.
Randeep Hooda starrer Swatantra Veer Savarkar tanked at the box office. The film managed to collect ₹9 crore at the box office till Tuesday, according to the Hindustan Times.
Multiple properties of hip-hop star Sean Diddy Combs were searched by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. The musician is facing multiple civil lawsuits over alleged sexual assault and sex trafficking.
My God, this story is horrifying. I don't know if you've been following it for a while.
I haven't, actually.
So, it first came to light a few months ago. I think the singer Cassie, I'm not sure, I'll get Cassie, like, basically came out of the accusations about how while they were in a relationship, he was really sexually coercive and would keep her intoxicated and sexually assault her. And it was really bone-chilling, the entire narrative. And then I think she finally went to the authorities. They looked into it and realized that there'd been rumors circulating about Diddy for a while. And he's like a very well-known, like he did rap for a while and then he switched over entirely to being like a music mogul of sorts and a producer, etc. And it's just bone-chilling that the amount of, you know, rumors circulating about him finally come to light. And he was being investigated by the feds. Like, it is not the local police. He's not been convicted yet.
The
they're just carrying out the investigation. So they sealed off his home the other day to actually carry out the investigation. But what, like, the accounts of what happened with Cassie are horrifying.
But it's great to be that it's taken seriously. You know, finally. I don't think in India that really happens. I mean, 2018, even in the music and entertainment industry, all the accusations.
Yeah, it never really came to light. But I mean, I hope the victims find peace through this. Superstar Kamal Hassan, in a recent interview with The Hindu, revealed that the shooting for Indian 2 and Indian 3 has been completed. Additionally, he's all set to make a cameo appearance in Kalki 2898 AD.
I have no idea what any of those things are.
I think we're revealing our ignorance a little, so we won't get much into that. But yeah, I mean,
At least we're honest.
I hope people are happy about Indian 2 and Indian 3 being completed. Yes. I hope there are fans out there that are happy.
Yes, and we will also be once we watch Indian 1.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get on with the show.
So, Mamla Legal Hair,
right.
We'll discuss that first, which is a courtroom comedy drama which stars Ravi Kishan, Nidhi Bish, Naila Grewal, Anjum Batra, among others. Sameer Saxena, also known for Panchayat, Kota Factory and Tripling, serves as the showrunner. It's available on Netflix. What were your first thoughts of the show?
On a first watch, I thought it was genuinely fun to
watch. How many watches
as
did you?
Just like, you know, just when you're not thinking too much about it, maybe later when I process it a little. I haven't watched it multiple times. Okay.
I was like, you're really thorough.
No. No, so just like, I actually watched it on the train, like all the episodes, one after the other. So I didn't like get to sit and properly digest, you know, how it usually happens.
But they are very watchable. You can watch
them. Just, you can watch them all together. Like the proper binge-worthy. Like, you know how you people used to say you're binging Netflix, which was a thing before our attention spans got fried. It was a proper, proper bingeable show. And I watched the episodes, and on a like a first quick run, it's like, it's really, it's enjoyable. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny without being slapstick. Like, it isn't, it's also slapstick in places, but it doesn't like, it's not poorly executed. Yeah. So the humor definitely really gets to you. Like, it's definitely appreciated. Yeah, the humor entirely lands. What I really also love is like the whole Patparganj court, like it's built quite realistically. Yeah. So I feel like the show, the person who actually wrote and executed, like the writer's room probably was very fairly aware, was a lawyer himself, was fairly aware of what happens, the nitty gritties of court. And
I think the showrunners also spent some time in the court. Yeah, absolutely. Get a sense.
And I feel like the court also looks like, I feel like the set is decent.
So it's a whole, it's set. I actually wondered for a minute if this was in the court
being shown. I felt like the set was built because in certain bits and pieces, it clearly looked like the set had been created.
Because it would take elaborate.
Yeah, it would take a lot of like, and I also feel like, why would Patparganj court give like a permission to to a random TV series to be shot there for
just
I don't know how long?
No cases being heard for months because who knows? There's a show going on. That's true.
But it was quite realistic. I really did like that. The humor lands. It's, the characters are likable. You do kind of root for them when you're watching it.
Is there a but?
Yeah, eventually. But I feel like that's a more meta butt. But it's like, on a first watch, I felt like the characters are quite cute. I was really rooting for the court manager guy. I think it's Anjum Batra plays the person. And he's quite cute. Like, his introduction is, this person, lawyer, goes up to him to ask him that, you know, where can I get my license, etc. And he's like, I'm like the Donna of this court, as a reference to Suits, which made me realize that, you know, Suits, when it initially came out, was actually not really big in the States at all. The audience was entirely Indian. Like, we loved her.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of them too, but I did
like
not
it really
that.
Picked up pace in America much later when it finally came on Netflix, which is quite recently. But initially, Suits was like a normal, like your average TV watchable kind of a, like a soap, daily soap, I guess, equivalent to them.
Yeah.
And they didn't care about it as much, but we loved it and we binged the hell out of it. And I feel like at least people who went to college, like around my time, like plus minus 2-3 years, like especially the ones who went to like study law, I think a good chunk of them were just inspired by Suits. I don't know.
Have you studied law?
I have not.
Okay.
Like, but just like, you know, my peers who ended up actually doing law, I feel like a
but
good
I actually think like my law school friends miss on the show a lot. And because just courtroom been, dramas in general.
Yeah, I think because they're too close to it, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, what
and
the hell?
And they're going to like analyze it
Exactly. I mean, if the show is being made by about your profession, then you tend to be like, this is bullshit. Yeah. This is stupid. You don't know anything.
Yeah.
Which is a fair
And
impulse.
It's lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. And it's lawyers. They anyway have that argumentative blood in them. So I do feel like Suits had like a far more influential run here than it did there in its country of origin. So yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, that you can clearly see that those courtroom drama things are very, they've recently picked up pace. I don't know how many legacy courtroom dramas I remember because they're very much a part of the American cultural lexicon.
Yeah. But there's in Suits, there's Boston Legal, they've had that Good Wife.
Good Wife. Yeah, so they've had a bunch of those. Yeah. Law and Order, I guess.
Law and Order, so many seasons.
So many of them. And we've had what, India's maybe had like Jolly LLB, probably was like
Guilty
a,
Minds.
Guilty. Oh, Indian.
It's a show, a courtroom show.
Okay, I haven't.
Oh, it's so
it's good.
That's actually, I loved it so much. It's just one season. It came a year or two ago by Shefali.
Okay.
And so my expectations were really high from Mamla Legal Hai because that show was just done so well.
That you thought it was a very good legal procedural.
Yeah, because I think even Suits, I mean, there are a lot of cliches.
Correct.
I mean, now when you look at it,
I feel like
it,
that is
like,
why it's popular in India because it employs a lot of daily soap
fair.
Cliches.
So but as you know, as you grow older and as you watch and binge watch more, your expectations also
absolutely
sort of
change.
Rise.
Yeah.
So Guilty Minds really changed that for me. It was a breath of fresh air, and I am really waiting for season two. So I was really excited for Mamla Legal Hai because of that. And I enjoyed it a lot, but it didn't
land.
There, you know.
So what worked and what did not work for you?
So the first episode, I was I really liked it, but I was left sort of I felt like there was something incomplete, maybe because I also didn't binge watch it like I do most shows. This one,
fair.
I sort of watched it over the
over
week
time. Okay.
So it took some time to really like
I feel like you had more time with the characters to sit with them and analyze them a little. That will happen.
And there were a lot more cliches than I thought there would be.
There were so many cliches. That is something that we can definitely get into. But like, props where they're due. Yeah. I think there was some solid writing on board.
Yeah.
It's 100% clean entertainment. Like, you know, there was the lexicon that your, there was a cultural place that your TV shows that were like kind of funny that used to air around 9, 9:30, 10 that used to air, which you sort of could just watch with your parents because they were like silly slapstick humor, but they're clean enough that you could watch with your family.
I think barely one episode you can watch.
And then like, see, that's what happened. Like those shows kind of got eroded because TV in general got eroded. So now I feel like Mamla Legal is kind of slotted into that, you know, that erstwhile place of like a funny, like clean family humor, quote unquote, as they say. And so you can watch it with your parents.
Except one episode.
Except one episode.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Parrot?
I don't remember the names, but it's the one where... there's a woman who's serving life imprisonment and she wants to get married.
Oh, right. That one was not. Okay, sorry.
No spoilers. That is...
we can talk about that later. But yeah, I feel like most of it is quite clean family humor that you
and
can watch.
And I think my favorite part was just the dialogues. They really slap. They are amazing.
True. That is true. And I feel like that's the real difference between like somebody who wants to write a story in a setting that they're intimately familiar with versus you're grasping at a setting that you don't know much about and you're just sort of putting together. The piece. So I feel like I think like when I was looking at the credits, the entire team is TVF. And for the longest time, TVF's productions, like strong suit was the fact that their dialogues actually landed because it was written by people who are very intimately aware of how people talk because they're intimately aware of the settings that they're writing about, which can't be said about a lot of other directors that we have in the mainstream. Yeah. So I feel like the dialogues definitely take it away.
And they were genuinely funny.
And they were funny. To be very honest, it didn't feel like they weren't forcing me to laugh at bad humor. It was genuinely like lighthearted and funny, for sure.
And I think the character sketches, I mean, I would love to really take a peek inside the writer's room to see like how they've come up with the characters.
It was
because all the characters, you feel like, okay, there is definitely a person like this.
And for sure.
Like I cover codes sometimes. So a lot of things really felt very, okay, wow,
you
I
have
see
seen this,
this
and you have
happening.
Related
to this. I just feel like next time I want to just like sit for a while and just observe.
That is true.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of workplace dramas.
Ooh.
So this was just the perfect
match
blend, you know?
This is like a, what would you, like a... Well, like a Parks and Rec. Have you watched?
I haven't watched that.
But have you? Did you feel like it was similar to that? Like Parks and Rec was like
Now that you say it, maybe like a little bit. Uh-huh. But I think it really like the fact that it revolved around the courtroom was the essence of the show.
Correct.
And I think they did it really well, you know, from the episode names to at the end of the episode.
Correct.
Having those newspaper articles.
Yes, at the end where it came, where it actually highlighted that, you know, you may think that these stories are crazy, but they actually happened.
Yeah, which
that
was, I think, so again, this was inspired by real life events, but not...
immediately.
I mean,
that, for sure.
Definitely, they exaggerated a lot of things.
I mean, for sure, they will do that, I guess. Yeah. That's a... part and parcel of the
things. Really, but really fun watch.
But fun. I feel like you should definitely, if you're just looking to watch something, it's in that place where it doesn't take so much of your mental bandwidth, but it's also not a, you can't categorize this as a stupid show to watch. So it's definitely in the nice place where I would definitely recommend it. But moving on to what you didn't like, because I do have a lot of things to talk about that.
Oh my God, I have notes.
Go ahead, I'd love to hear.
Irish Wish. So I think my expectations were really high because of Guilty Minds and the star cast was so amazing. I thought it would be even like, I think now I would, I not like I'm at the place that I can give it stars and everything, but if I had to, a solid 3 and 3.5 stars. So I think it just fell short of just, I couldn't get too involved with the characters as deeply as I would have wanted to. And I think sometimes the cliches just felt a tad much, but that's just part of it. I mean, overall, I would definitely recommend... watching this.
I felt like the cliches were so pointed that you were like, okay, this can't be a real character.
Yeah, and just, I think part of it was just a little unnecessary. The whole, all the emotions of his father.
Yes.
And I still don't get it. Part of it, I'm still trying to grasp why so, he... again, no spoilers, so should not really go into that. I will ask you that separately later. But and the whole, everything is a spoiler.
Okay, we can't finish our
thoughts. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I get it.
It felt a little forced, the emotional element.
Yeah.
Besides that, there were so many, it was just going so smoothly, I think, without that, you know? And it's just the way that things would come. Like he called, Ravi Kishan called his interns. We found out later, he just said, hello, Law and Order. And it turns out Law and Order are the names of his interns. It was just such a genuine, surprising, happy moment. You know, it really made me laugh, the show.
Yeah, that was funny.
What about you? Do you have any other buts?
Ooh, I do have a few buts. Starting with Ravi Kishan's character. And I'll be honest, I don't know, I feel like, I'm not sure if it's a popular opinion. He was just morally reprehensible as a character. And I have nothing against morally reprehensible characters. I love it when somebody is just completely repugnant. You don't like them. Their evil flows in their blood. Yeah. You wouldn't trust them with even, I don't know, like a used tissue paper. Like when people are just that bad, it's fine. It's interesting to watch. It's just that they prop him up as clearly a person who morally has no center.
Yeah.
And then by the end, they're trying to convince you that he's a messiah. I'm like, pick a lane and stick to that. Because I'm not about to, because I watched the show from the beginning to the end. There hasn't been a convincing character arc for me to believe that in a season he's gone from being really, really a morally corrupt person to somehow suddenly having this complete change of charge. Like, I'm sorry, but it wasn't convincing enough for me.
And it was actually just a few months' time, right?
Yeah,
because of
it was
the association.
Just, exactly.
It's not
he's
stretched
just,
over years.
So, no spoilers, but the premise of the show is that he's getting into bar elections.
Right, Delhi Bar Association.
Delhi Bar Association elections. And it's just like, it's a elections like a matter of few months. And he starts out by just doing it, just like whatever it takes mentality he has, which is fair, I guess, you know, to get ahead in life, I think a certain amount of it is required. Fair, I'm not judging that. But he just really has that terrible, like, anything to get ahead mentality. And then by the end, he has a complete change of heart. And they, you know, they're pretty meta about it. Like, one of the episodes, spoiler, I mean, not spoiler, but whatever. If you want to skip for like 15 seconds, you can. For an episode, they're acknowledging how that, you know, if you mention one decision he's taken that's not populist, but morally righteous, and they can't find anything because he just hasn't done anything that is morally righteous in his life. So it was just like a huge leap for me to believe that, you know, A, you're taking a morally repugnant character.
Yeah.
You're trying to make it a hero. And then you're trying to push that down my throat. Like, I'm not doing that much of a leap of disbelief. And that is the problem also I have with like a lot of poor storytelling in general, that you can't, like, let's be real about, you know, romanticizing these characters that clearly have something wrong. Like, there's nothing wrong you looking at a character that is not great as a person. That's fine. A good storytelling. But let's be real about what we make heroes out of.
Yeah. And they show us the transition.
Or this, and the same problem, spoiler alert, as you said, right? 15 seconds you can skip if you haven't watched the show. But you were like, you know, his very, the daddy issues that overshadowed the entire narrative.
Yeah.
That he's clearly, you know, his father is a good legal ranking. He's a judge. He's legal. He's a ranked officer. And he's trying to fill in that shadow that he's always felt, that he's, you know, he's tried to rise up to what his dad was. And I'm just like, the end of all TVF shows, because the same showrunner has done, like, I don't know, that Kota Factory or whatever. And at the end, it's just like, the characters start out to do something revolutionary. At the end, the story unfolds in such a way that they end up fulfilling their parents' dreams entirely. I'm like, okay.
That's the part that felt a little forced.
That felt a little forced to me. And I'm just like, okay, we can do better. Like, let's deal with the parental issues that this country has, maybe in a slightly better way.
And again, 10-second spoiler, but... Yeah. He has a child.
There was no wife.
There's no explanation. Just one episode, a child.
He has a child. It's crazy because he has no fatherly tendencies, by the way.
Yeah, and there's no reference to him before and after.
There's no wife also. And it's like the child is adopted. I'm like, it's a single father adoption process. Maybe in the next season, they'll introduce some hot
shot. But that was extremely random.
It was random.
Like, went back for a few minutes to like, did I miss something? Because there is absolutely no indication of this. How can it be such a small part of your life?
I have no clue. But you know, maybe in the next episode, they'll introduce some hotshot lawyer from some firm and they'll fall in love.
His ex-wife.
Maybe his ex-wife, maybe his future wife. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. And speaking of the romance element, mm-hmm. I think there was just a hint of it, which was fine. I think some shows can do without
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I feel
but
like it's
I think
fine.
That is the character that was weakest for me, played Correct. By Nayla Agrawal. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that you need to, when you enter into sort of this sort of mm-hmm. workplace drama, you need to view at it from the lens of someone who's just like picking up.
But Correct.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it was a little strange.
It was just saying all the woke things and privilege.
There was this one episode which was just like, so he, spoiler alert, skip 15 seconds. His to-be wife visits and then he's trying to convince her that no, I'm not actually right. in love with her. So he takes her car and then he shows the car to his family. He's like, why don't you take it for a drive? They're like, no, it's too expensive. Hamari aukaat ke bahar hai. And then he tries to draw that as an analogy about how he would never hit on that woman. And I was like,
right.
Okay.
I mean, it is weird, but I also get it. Like, I can imagine that conversation playing happening. Out for sure.
Correct.
But
yeah.
a car is not really necessary to
Correct.
Say that.
Fine. I guess it was a creative choice. We're just shooting.
So that felt a little, and initially I thought there would be maybe more of a sort of a war between her and Ravi Kishan. She would take him on.
Actually, that never happened. She just kind of rolled over.
Yeah,
and
under Sujata Didi.
Yeah, under Sujata Didi.
And Sujata Didi was the best
Sujata Didi. So I feel like that character was quite interesting. And it was played by Nidhi Bisht, who I feel is a wonderful actress,
what
by the way.
She
was in a lot of TVF stuff, but I felt like she always had that knack for like theater. She had decent, like very good comedic timing. And it's very rare that you have an actually like really funny woman with great performance chops on the screen. So I feel like she does a great job of it. And I really like Sujata Didi's character.
Yeah. And I think just everything, even if they would break into a dance, I loved how authentic it looked. I mean,
correct.
Whether it's dancing in a cabin or on the road, everything just felt so natural.
That is true.
I don't think that happens a lot in shows, you know, that sort
correct.
Of just so raw. And
correct.
When it's a workplace drama like this that involves a courthouse. I don't see that happening in Suits, you know.
maybe Suits didn't become a hit because they didn't have enough spontaneous
That's
dancing.
True.
But that is true. You're completely right about the show feeling very organic, which is what makes it as good as it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, I mean, sure, we've discussed about what we felt wrong with the generic storytelling and whatever the moral arc of the story.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Those are like wider discussions to be had.
Overall, we would still recommend it.
Yeah, we would still recommend that you go watch it. So I feel like we still rate it pretty well. It's just that it is what it is, I guess, at the end of the day.
It can't be flawless, just like Ravi Kishan's character.
Yeah, it just can't be flawless. Ravi Kishan's character, my God, that person is not nice. But what did you think of Ravi Kishan?
I think he carried the show at least like until the first few episodes until I really
Correct.
Went into the characters.
Yeah.
He's great,
I think he started off very strong. Towards the end, his storyline started annoying
me a little
bit.
Yeah, I think that's more on the writing than
But that's
him.
More on the writing side. I feel like he did do a decent job. I feel like he still has got it in him.
Yeah.
And Ravi Kishan was always, he rose to fame as like a really popular Bhojpuri actor, right? I'm always very fond of people who have great fame in a very particular niche. I'm like, you really understand your audience. You really know how to make that work. I think it's pretty rare that you make like a one subset of audience really just obsessed with you.
Yeah.
So I feel like props to Ravi Kishan. He must have done something really interesting.
Yeah.
If you grew up watching Bhojpuri films, please write to us about what it was like what was the experience of watching Ravi Kishan on screen, because I've not watched any of his movies. Have you?
I haven't actually.
Yeah,
I've just heard of him in political talks because
Same,
he is
yeah.
in
he
MP
entered that
with
eventually.
The BJP, like Kangna. So it took me a minute to be like, wait, this is the same guy. But I enjoyed his performance quite a lot. So.
Yeah, I did as well. So I mean, if you want to talk to us about Ravi Kishan's performance in Bhojpuri films, please do
or
so.
In the Lok Sabha.
or in the Lok Sabha, either or.
Right to us, but looking forward to a season 2. I do hope that happens.
Yes, I hope they do come up with a season 2. And I hope they manage to retain the writer's room so the magic can be continued. Because, with some certain shows, season 1, excellent. Season 2, you're like, what happened? Yes, I literally had that in mind.
There's nothing else I can think of.
Yeah. Like, Made in Heaven season 1, some of the most sublime storytelling you've seen on like an OTT platform in India. Like a genuinely groundbreaking show with interesting fleshed out characters. By the time season 2 rolls around, you're like, stop this Zomato ad right here.
Don't wait 4 years for another season.
I hope they realize that a third season is not required at this point. I'm done.
That's true. So before we get on, we have another small announcement. So general elections are just around the corner, and we reporters have also been sending our ideas, and we're all set to start reporting from the ground. But we need your support. News Laundry and News Minute will be together reporting on the elections. And this time, instead of one big project fund, we're doing smaller projects so that you can choose what you want to power, the stories that you want to hear and read and watch. So we have more than 15 reporters, producers and editors from News Laundry and News Minute on the ground who will be covering various states, and our editors Manisha, Atul, Dhanya and Sudipto. And your contribution will directly power their work, our work. And we really need it now more than ever. So head on to newslaundry.com/2024election fund to make the contribution. Thank you.
So moving on, the second thing we're talking about is The Gentleman. It was directed by Guy Ritchie, and he has created this 8-episode spin-off series based on his 2019 film of the same name. The series digs deeper into themes of mafia, drugs, cannabis, and heists. Theo James, the White Lotus famed actor, plays the lead role alongside Vinnie Jones, Raven Stone, Jolie Richardson, and Max Beasley. And it's available on Netflix. So, I mean, since you watched the first episode, just quickly what you thought, and then I can get into like a little bit more. Okay, tell me, did you start this because you like Theo James?
No.
Okay.
But that was my first thought when I started it. That is what helped me really watch the entire show. Because the show is doesn't fit into my genre of the things I watch. Mm. But then I did get really into it halfway through the episode. And then the end of the episode, again, I had to take a step back. Right. So it was a roller coaster ride. But what an enjoyable actor he is. You know, that's the plot, I think. What gentleman for the plot.
The plot, quote unquote, being Theo James's beautiful cheekbones or jawline, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, just everything. Great work.
Great work from his parents, I guess, to produce him and send him to acting.
So the episode itself, I think it was definitely engaging. Mm-hmm. It picks up pace halfway through the 1-hour, 7-minute long episode.
Very long,
And I mean, I would have liked more humor, but that's just me. I don't think I'm the target audience for the show. And the ending of the episode, the last 15 minutes, it really, it was a lot. It started off with, oh, that's really intense and funny. And, you know, this is a great show. And then as the minutes went by, as the dance went by, so to speak, it just, I had to really take a step back and be like, what the hell am I watching?
So, yeah, I mean, like the show, it's supposed to be like a mafia heist, but it starts off in like a tame enough setting. So you're like lulled into a sense of like, oh, it's going to be like a slow moving thing. But by the end of the episode, it just, wham, it just hits you out of nowhere. And I think that's been the theme for the first few episodes, that it just starts off a little like normal and gentle, and then suddenly, boom, you're in the middle of something really fucking intense. Which is, so to say, I feel like the first two, maybe three episodes really carried me through. Like, I watched them. And I genuinely, like, I thought it was decent. Like, I definitely thought that the plot was a little ham-fisted. But I was like, it's okay. I can let it pass because it's still, it's keeping my interest to a certain degree. And even though, like, the plot, like, it's a cliched plot, I can get behind it in bits and parts because I still do feel that it is well produced. It looks like cleanly done and interesting, and the characters are, you know, it looks like somebody's put care into making this. It's not a sloppy production, which is, I was like, maybe I can continue watching it. But a few episodes down the line, I was like, enough is enough. Like, you need to
Does it get slow or is it too much happening? No, it doesn't get slow
for sure. Like, it actually just gains momentum. But that's the point, when you gain too much momentum. So it's 8 episodes. I think each episode is like an hour long. But as it gains momentum, it just sort of becomes too big for its own shoulder. So it's just like, it's going kind of crazy because they feel the need to keep raising the stakes episode on episode, which is fair, right? But after a while, you're like, okay, how much are we going to raise the stakes? Like, yeah, people are going to die. And like, it's people are going to make drugs, which is what the show is about. So it's just like, when it tries to really like, you know, punch above its weight, after a point, you're going to be like, okay, enough is enough. So I think like by the end, I feel like that's also an issue with just in general, most Guy Ritchie movies. he's also, I quickly did a glance of what else he's directed. Yeah. Turns out he was married to Madonna for like a couple of years. I didn't know that. That was quite surprising.
Wait, this is that Guy Ritchie. Yeah, yeah, Madonna's Guy Ritchie. Husband.
Madonna's husband.
It should have been in the description.
Yeah, it should have been in the description. But he also directed Sherlock Holmes, the one with Robert Downey Jr. in it. And again, same problem. So I feel like Guy Ritchie clearly has these motifs that he's very interested in. He's an English guy himself. So he likes that British crime background where it's like, you know, things look good on the surface, but on the... And he loves his protagonists, which are scrappy. Like, they come from high society. They're aristocratic, but they're also very good at getting down in the mud and sparring, which is okay. It's an interesting character motive to have. But don't make it so unbelievable where I'm like, okay, you're just blowing smoke. At this point, you need to stop. So that is what happens with Theo James's character. Like, he's shown initially as like this slick, suave duke of some place. Like, he comes from British aristocratic lineage and he's like a nice guy. And then suddenly when he, you know, he finds out that his family is in the weed business, he suddenly is faced in a... he's facing an entirely different context, and he still manages to be like gentlemanly enough but also scrappy enough to get through in both worlds.
That is where the name of the show comes from.
That is where it comes from. But eventually I was just like, okay, you're doing too much to make it believable, and I don't think that is believable. So after a while the charm really wore off for me.
But how much can you look at him, right?
Yeah, how much can you look at him? Like, yes, beautiful face, but let's be real.
So tell me, was there like how the end of the first episode had that really surprising value that was sort of edgy and will keep you it's a surprise basically. Did that happen recurringly?
So I mean, there's like the couple of episodes that follow, you have a little bit more scary elements mixed with like your generic drama. So at bits and places it really does pick up place. Not anything as intense as the first episode sequence, because that was really like, that was made to like get your blood pressure up just by a little. It wasn't as crazy for the rest of the episodes, but that motive clearly follows, that you'll... Something slightly scary, something slightly unexpected will happen in a completely different setting. It's just that some episodes is just like, enough is enough. Like, let's be real. And another thing I took issue with towards the end was, I don't know if anyone else felt it or not, I thought the show was a little racist.
Really?
Yeah, and not like your overt racism, more just like your Brexit fear-mongering racism, where it's like you have some prince, some duke, something, and his entire manor, whatever, has been taken over by these black gangsters who talk in like that weird lexicon that he is not good enough at replicating, because again, you are not embedded in the culture, so you don't understand, you know, that particular type of speaking. And they're calling that duke, whoever, whichever's manner they've taken over, or whitey or something like that. I'm like, okay, just like, you have very weird fears surrounding your cultural place in mind, and you're clearly purging it through the TV show. So after, if it was less ham-fisted, I felt like I would have given it a pass also. But after a point, I was just like, you're too overt in your racism, and this is not fun
Does
for the plot anymore.
Does that seem to be a pattern for Guy Ritchie?
I don't know, because I haven't watched enough to be able to confirm. But
I just watched Sherlock, which was great.
Which was fine, But there was like a couple of characters of color, because Britain in general is a little bit of a mixed society. But after a point, I was just like, okay, you could have either gotten better writers in the room that actually knew how to do the dialogue, because this just feels a little on the nose to me. So yeah, that was there. I would say watch the first episode, because I feel like the first episode is done decently well enough. The characters are fine. The story plot line is fine. You can maybe watch that and figure it out for yourself. Because towards the end, it got laborious for me for all these reasons. But the first episode itself was good enough to get me hooked.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, you can... I'm not going to recommend or not recommend this. I would still say you can watch the first episode and then make a decision.
Who do you think is the target audience for the show? Like, I felt like this, you know, people... Indie bros will really be into this. Because it was produced really well.
That is true. It was produced well.
It was very pretty to watch. Correct. Like you said, clean also.
Correct.
And I personally really liked Susie Glass's character.
Yes, yeah.
It was... She really brought that...
a little
spunk,
pizzazz to it.
And I think before she really entered the storyline, there were just like dudes.
Correct.
And I... don't enjoy watching in a show or a movie, there was really no one else to besides like a couple of dialogues here and there.
Yeah, fair.
So she did bring that element and was the most interesting one out there.
Correct. So I feel like, yeah, same with her. Like, initially she really lands a punch. She's an interesting character. Towards the end, it just sort of fizzles out.
Yeah.
I feel like the show got too big for its britches, and that's usually what happens.
And it's fine. It's the long episodes, you know. You
very
can't really
episodes,
watch
so
it just for the hell of it. And
so, as for the target audience, I feel like, yeah, if you're into watching like a low-stakes crime drama, maybe you could enjoy it. Because it's not as bloody and gritty as a lot of other shows can get. It still maintains a slightly humorous line to it. Yeah. So it's not very gritty, but it's still a crime drama without the excessive grittiness.
I did get a little Succession vibes. I think because of just the household drama and, you know, what's at stake and like just like rich people.
I get it. Yeah.
And especially in the start when I didn't really know where the show was going. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I got.
So, yeah, it doesn't really follow through on its Succession vibe except for bits and pieces here. And also, it cannot hold a candle to Succession's writing. That is for sure. So, yeah, I mean, you can watch it if you're into crime, but not very gritty crime. It does get weird in places. Like, they have like a really gory scene out of nowhere in the middle for no reason, just because they want to put in that element of surprise. And that's the thing, right? Like, they want that element of surprise so bad it ruins the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
yeah, I totally get what you're talking about. Just like trying to be too edgy, it overdoes it, you know? Once or twice is fine, but you can't force it.
You can't be formulaic with every episode and expect me to like behave normally. Like, this is a show you can binge, right? All episodes. If it was like one episode per week, it would still make sense that you build like a similar narrative arc for each episode. Right. But if I watch each episode after the other, bam, 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 I'm just noticing a pattern as opposed to appreciating a story arc.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And there's so many things to watch that I'm also trying to understand why someone would pick this, you know?
Yeah.
What are all the boxes that it
So, I feel like it was definitely Netflix, like, really pitched for it, I guess. It's Netflix's own production. They've put in a certain amount of money for it. So, I'm sure it's going to be, like, it's going to appear on people's Discover pages.
Yeah.
And I feel like that way it might get a certain amount of eyeballs.
True.
Let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, are you going to finish it?
I have finished it. I just like one last like 8 episodes, half or something is left, but I'm not enough into the story to like finish it.
But I mean,
just want to know.
That also says a lot if you watch almost the entire season and you're still not enough into the story to finish
it. Like that really explains a lot.
It's not really done its job.
Yeah.
But is there room for a season 2? Or
I feel like, yeah, for sure.
Doors?
I feel like there is room for a season 2. And I feel like they're counting on, like, even if Netflix has put their own money in it, then they're waiting, testing out.
Yeah.
They're testing the waters to see if it does well enough, then they'll green light a second season.
Yeah.
So I think that's usually Netflix's modus operandi for a while. I think earlier they greenlit shows without thinking about it. Like, willy-nilly, they were just giving money to anyone. I think now they're being a little bit more focused, that they'll pick up like one marquee show, market it to their audience, see how the reaction is. If it is good enough, they'll bring it back for a season 2. So let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard any news of it being greenlit for a second season, but let's see. Maybe the decision will be taken later on. But yeah, Theo James was interesting in it. I still do think he was far better in White Lotus though. So that still stands. So yeah, if you just want to watch Theo James, watch White Lotus.
So the last movie is Irish Wish. I have so much to say.
Please say it.
So firstly, I tried to complete it not once but twice.
Uh-huh.
One night I tried. I couldn't watch more than 20 minutes. I came back the next night. I made it to like 40 minutes. And then I just couldn't do this to myself. It was, before we get more into it, I just want to let people know that I really like trash movies and trash shows, okay? And I love a good rom-com.
Okay.
So it's not that hard to please me in these sort of movies and shows, but I could not watch it. I just could not.
Yeah, that tells you how terrible it must be that Tanishka was like, I can watch trash and I can watch rom-coms, but I still can't watch this trashy
rom-com. Yeah, I mean, this should have been the perfect... You know, when something is so bad, it's good.
Yeah, but it didn't go there.
It wasn't even that.
It wasn't that bad enough to become
good. So before
good.
We get more into it, Irish Wish is directed by Janine Damian. It's a rom-com starring Lindsay Lohan, which is about a book editor whose life alters when she makes a spontaneous wish on an ancient stone. So much potential.
So it's like a 13 going on 30.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't.
13 going on 30, Freaky Friday. There is so
everything.
Many things it takes into. So tell me your first impressions and last impressions.
So,
and how much did you really make it through?
Only about halfway through when she gets to the point where she makes the first wish and she wakes up in an alternate reality. And I was like, okay.
Oh, that is not even halfway through. That is the beginning.
So, I mean, it was so bad that it felt like I was halfway through.
Why? What didn't work for you? And was there anything that worked?
What didn't work for me? I was like, you're expecting me to believe that this production that seems like a children's play is a properly directed movie. I'm not going to suspend my disbelief that much. Yeah. So I couldn't do that. And I mean, love and light to Lindsay Lohan. She's had a tough life and she's recovered from something difficult and she's trying to get back to honest work. But this isn't it.
Yeah. I mean, she looked good. But
she did look cute, yeah.
I think she carried the, I can't even say I can't it. Even I'm sorry.
I mean, one thing I'll definitely admit is that the movie didn't have a lot of budget and they were counting on the fact that this is Lindsay's big major production after a really long time to carry the entire movie forward. And
but there was so the words I've written for this movie are boring, full stop, bad, full stop, bland, not one laugh, tourism ad, ? I don't get it. I mean, literally the only watchable thing besides Ed Spiller's was Ireland, right?
Yeah.
I said it right.
You know how they say in Sex and the City, New York is one of the characters of the show? Like that. They pulled a meta.
Ireland was the only character. And
Ireland out-acted all the actors.
Everything was missing. I mean, first 20 minutes in, I didn't smile or laugh even once, same. You know? And this is the sort of show, movie that you watch when you want a light watch. You just want to like, okay, cool. I'll make believe in your fairy tale world, you know?
But
you
couldn't do that
do that. I read somewhere, there's a review, I think, in The Vulture that spoke about how this was, it felt like it's AI generated.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Yes, now that I think of it.
Saying things and doing things, but nothing makes sense.
Like, it's not something a human would do at any point or how a human would act.
It was horrible.
I genuinely think like we might have AI generated scripts in the future, and I'm not sure whether this one was AI generated or not.
It I feel like a few months down the line, they're going to be like, surprise, this was our trial run with AI.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I was also looking for just like, is this sponsored by Ireland Tourism? What is happening? It did not. I don't think I've ever seen a rom-com this bad.
I don't know. It's like a Lifetime, you know, what is that American channel that airs like Hollywood movies? Lifetime, Lifeline?
Okay, like holiday movies. It had all the Christmas holiday vibes
to it.
And I mean, the plot is basically her, Lindsay Lohan's best friend is getting married to this guy who she's had a crush on for a long time. And she also edits his book. He's kind of famous and not even attractive, I would say.
True. Not and, easy on the eyes.
Yeah. And when Lindsay is gone for the wedding, she meets someone who grants her a wish, an Irish wish. Yes. And she's wishes that she's getting married to Paul Kennedy. And the number of times I have heard the words Paul Kennedy.
Oh my God, yes.
It's insane. There should be a drinking game around this, true. Definitely.
So, but I would not want to play the movie at any party ever. So.
Unless
I'm torturing
you're already down a few drinks.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Like, I think, this movie can qualify for a hate watch.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like, it's not even enough to
That's
hate.
Also true,
it's like a profoundly lost audience. Joy in life and humanity, and just you know, when you eat like a really shitty meal, and you're like, oh it's my just, god, you're suffering through every bite
from like a great restaurant,
and you're suffering through every bite, just being like, what did I put myself through? The movie is like that,
definitely. So, and so, I feel like although the plot was like a cliche, there was a lot that could be done.
Cliches, right? You said rom coms are fun, cliches
it could
are fun.
Have like just like dumb things, but like. Something has to mix. Everything was bad. The writing, the dialogues, the scripting, the acting, everything. It was really
sad. Comes at a time when everyone's been talking about a rom-com revival. Because Anyone But You, did you catch that? The Sydney Sweeney. So, you know, it did very well at the box office. And it was like a proper true blue rom-com. And people were like, you know, you can bet money on rom-coms. And then I remember that, sometimes they're really shitty rom-coms as well. Because this one was really shitty rom-com. And just like, cliches are fine. There's nothing wrong with a cliche. Cliches are interesting because they make for an interesting, watchable story. But this was not an interesting cliche. This was not even an interesting watch. It was, as Tanishka said, I genuinely think they're going to come out and be like, this was AI generated, by the way. And we'll have to watch in horror to realize, okay, this actually might just be AI generated. So who knows? There's going to be a lot
future
of...
looks like.
Yeah, this is what the future looks like.
Oh,
Oh, God.
I want to be stuck in the past.
So, but they had real movies.
Yeah. So after the first time I couldn't finish Irish Wish, I watched Upgraded on Prime. I don't know if you've heard of it or watched it. It stars Camila Mendes.
Okay.
And again, it is a rom-com, but it was so good.
Really?
Yes. I would have, I think, just like stopped watching things if I did not, after the Irish Wish, have something great to watch, a rom-com.
Makes sense.
This was a great rom-com. I would definitely recommend it. And so it also had very less rom.
And more com?
Yeah. And it was a lot about her workplace drama.
Nice.
She's with an art agency. It was great. It was exactly what Irish Wish wasn't.
Irish Wish wishes it was that. But maybe unfortunately, they couldn't find that stone to make that wish on.
Maybe
they could
next
only settle
wish.
For AI-generated mediocrity.
But was there anything you liked about it?
Just no. Let's. It's
Ed Spillers. No, he didn't.
I guess I like, you know, when people had that little Irish accent here and there. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, and Derry Girls is an Irish production.
Exactly, Irish excellence.
Yeah. So it's not their fault.
That is true. Irish excellence always shines through. You have your Derry Girls, you have your IOW. You see that joke going around.
Which?
That she jokingly claims that she's Irish at all times. So people of Ireland have like just sort of jokingly adopted her. Like, yeah, she's one of us now. So
I've seen that meme about when he says, I can't, I have to go, I have to shoot a lizard on a tree or some really specific dialogue. And I've seen a lot of GIFs about this.
Okay, interesting.
We will add it here, but I hope no one gets it and no one has to watch it. So
if you want to watch something true blue Irish, just because you're in the mood for something Irish, then just watch Derry Girls, which is excellent.
So the woman starring in Derry Girls, one of the lead characters is an Upgraded.
Which was nice. Good fun. For them to have good careers after that show, because that show was like they were all stars there.
A better Irish choice
for sure.
Anything else you have watched, loved, hated this week?
No, I watched Poor Things recently because it was finally on OTT, and I like that. Despite, like, I don't think it's a great movie, but I didn't hate it as much as people wanted to hate it, I
Are
guess.
Are people hating on it?
I think a big criticism was the fact that people were like, because of the plot of the story is that, you know, the adult woman is retrofitted with a infant's brain, and then she goes ahead on a journey of sexual discovery. They were like, the movie promotes pedophilia. I was like, if you watch the movie, I don't think it promotes pedophilia in any way, shape, or form. Other than that, I don't think the movie was like out of this world and knocked out of the park.
This is the one that she won an Oscar for.
Yeah, yeah. So I felt like she acted quite well. The plot of the movie wasn't extraordinary, but it was still nice.
Not creepy in any...
No, I didn't think it was... I mean, it's definitely like sexual in nature.
Yeah, and the concept is...
This concept is also weird to hear about, but I didn't think it was like... I didn't think it dealt with the theme of pedophilia very likely. Yeah. So yeah, I don't share that criticism.
Okay.
What about you? You like that show on Prime?
Upgraded the movie.
Upgraded,
and
yes.
I've just been watching Office reruns. Like, my life depends on it. And also working, in case my editors are...
Yeah, she's working. She's all watching all this stuff.
But yeah, I'm waiting to watch like a good sitcom, something new and fresh. And like, I'm getting back to Upgraded. I feel like that rom-com really changed my perspective this weekend, but I wish that was a TV show, you know.
Interesting. A show that good, a movie that good, that it makes you, you know, think differently about things. That's nice. Interesting.
Differently about rom-coms, not life
in general. About love in general, but rom-coms. That's good.
Yeah. So let's get on to letters from subscribers. The first one is from Raju. Dear A-Team, I have a movie recommendation. Mahanati, a great actress from 2018, available on Amazon Prime Video. It is based on the real life of a famous Indian movie actress, Savitri. The songs in the movie also have great poetry. If you can get someone native to the language, it might be even better. Thanks. Sounds interesting. What language is this, though? What South Indian language? We will check it out and see if anyone wants to volunteer to watch it and discuss it. So thank you.
The next email is from Ravneet. Hello to the ANA team. Absolutely love your podcast and I eagerly wait for the new episode to drop every week. First of all, I would like to thank the makers of the best not movie ever made, Get Aaiya, because that is how I came across your podcast in the first place. Had the makers... Had the makers not made such a shit film, I would not have come across you guys. The awful can sometimes lead you to the awesome. That is a great way of looking at life.
That
Ravni.
Should be our tagline.
Yeah, that is our tagline. Keep up the good work. Would love to be a part of the podcast someday. Now I have a teeny tiny thing to say. I was listening to an old episode and I heard the one in which you all discussed Dune Part 1. Keeping in mind that while the criticism of the movie for its choice of ending was fair, I was a little taken aback by the lack of research done prior to reviewing it. The movie, or rather the book, did not borrow ideas from Star Wars, but it was Star Wars borrowed a lot of stuff from Dune. There's a link about it. But otherwise, keep being awesome. Thank you, Ravneet. So thank you so much for your emails this week. A reminder that we only read out subscriber emails make sure you subscribe before you send in an email. And do talk to us about, you know, having watched Ravi Kishan's Bhojpuri movies in the original runtime. And anything else you have to talk about.
Yeah, any recommendations
any
that
recommendations
you'd like
for rom-coms specifically, because we're clearly into that. And do talk to us about what you thought about Mamla Legal Hair. And what you thought about The Gentleman. Oh, the Irish, we were not going to torture you that much to ask you to watch it and then write about it. But if you have other opinions about AI-generated movies, then please write to us.
Yeah, and don't forget to contribute to our NL Sena projects for the upcoming general elections. We're just a few weeks away. I'm not going to make another appeal, but just going to end it with that.
Yes, please donate to that. Tanishka, any closing remarks for all the TV watching you've done this week?
Not really.
Yeah, I actually don't have much to say apart from the fact that I do wish sometimes when I watch a movie, I'm always criticizing like really meta things, and I have to get myself to stop because I'm like, of course, the writer room is not exactly thinking like I think, and I should be expanding my mind a little. But other than that, interesting stuff this week.
I'm hoping to watch Lapata Ladies this week. Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it, but Abbas did recommend it, so hopefully I'll also get to catch it. And I'm waiting for like a good movie to come out in the theater.
I think Crew is also coming.
Yes, it is. I'm excited for it because I will watch anything that Diljit Dosanjh is in. He's very attractive to me.
Oh, I didn't even know he's in the movie.
He's in the movie. I think he's very cute.
I'm sorry, there's Tabu and Kareena. Like,
that is
you can't
true.
Really
you have
look
such
elsewhere.
Beautiful women. That is true. Yeah. Has a beautiful cast with some really beautiful people. So if the plot is kind of I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. We'll be fine.
We'll watch it for the plot. Quote unquote. So thank you, Miss Sodi.
Thank you, Miss Rathore.
And it's a wrap.
Thank you for your subscription. You're changing the world by changing the way news is funded. For the smoothest News Laundry experience, download the News Laundry app. It is the best way to listen to our paywall podcasts. And you'll also get access to all free News Laundry shows. Keep us ad-free and subscriber-funded. Help us grow. Tell people who listen to you to pay to keep news free. Subscribe to News Laundry. Keep journalism independent.